Well, good morning. My name is Cor. I'm on the pastoral staff here at Hope. I'd love to meet you, whether today, after the service, or at some point. Love meeting new people here to the church. And so please come find me. This is the moment of the service where we open up God's word and we say, God, speak. God, we want to hear from you. We don't ultimately want to hear from a person or a pastor or a preacher. We don't even just want to hear words from a book. We want to hear from God this morning. So I hope that's your heart as we gather. To get started, I want to ask you a question. When I say the word wall, what comes to mind? Now, pretend I asked that question under the previous administration. What comes to mind, right? You're going to build a wall, right? And really, seemingly, the only thing that matters about this wall is the size of it, right? Like, it's going to be huge. Not huge, right? There are other walls, other maybe far more consequential historic walls. Great Wall of China. I don't know if that's a wall that comes to mind for you. I haven't had the privilege of walking that. My brother-in-law has, and crazy, like see it from space. Like that's sizable, right? For some of you, maybe the Western Wall or the also known as the Wailing Wall came to mind. Any of you aware of the gum wall in Seattle? You're aware of this? I didn't know this. I'm Googling walls and all of a sudden that shows up. I'm like, that's a significant wall? Are you kidding me? And I guess they tried to get rid of this. They scraped it all clean, but then boom, no, people were like, no, that's our gum wall. I don't know. And I don't know. Is this like a, like give one, take one type of thing? It's unfamiliar to me. What is the protocol with this? Maybe the most significant wall that I remember from childhood is the Berlin Wall. Any of you old enough to remember the Berlin Wall? So I actually didn't really know a whole lot about the history of this wall other than like, well, I don't know, somewhere in Europe, Germany, I guess. But then maybe the line, the words from Reagan were more consequential for me in my childhood. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You guys heard that phrase? I assumed that those words were spoken at like some sort of ceremony and that like Reagan and Gorbachev were going to like go over to the wall and like it had already been kind of like ready to fall down and they were just going to like maybe pull on something and it would collapse and be like this great hurrah. Like I didn't realize those words were spoken 2 years before the wall would actually fall. And his speech on that day that had these words didn't even really register on the nightly news. It wasn't a big deal. It's only like 2 years later, wall comes down and they go back and kind of bring his words into it, like memorialized with that wall coming down. Even though it, in the moment, no big deal. Just, I don't know, Reagan's making a speech. This is not a political message, even though I've talked about two politicians already. I really want to speak, and I think scripture and God wants to speak to us about a specific wall. And I think physical walls, that's not the only kind, right? We have emotional walls, relational walls, racial walls, some seen, some unseen. And I think today, really this idea of walls being broken and hope being spoken to us this morning. That's my prayer. That's what I've been praying for us as we come together this morning. And so we are in the book of Ephesians. This is week 9 of 20-some. I was trying to remember down there. It's like, it doesn't matter. They don't know. It's going to carry us through May. But where we've been in this book, not going to go through all of it, but you can certainly go online and find those past messages. But over the last 3 weeks, a very consequential series on the good news, the great news of the gospel. And as part of that, there is bad news, right? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. There was a wall between us and God. There was a wall that came on account of sin between us and each other. And so the bad news is, as for us, we were dead in our transgressions and sin in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world. But God made us alive even when we were dead. God brought down that wall that existed between us. And that is the great news. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This not from yourself. God did not say to you and to me, you got to figure out this wall situation. You got to tear this down. You are the one who needs to take sledgehammer to this and bring it down. That was not the word that was spoken. That's not the hope that was spoken. But rather, it is by grace. It is a gift that you've been saved through faith. This, not from yourselves, it is from God and God alone. And that kind of sets us up for today's passage. It's going to carry us through the end of chapter 2 here. Let me read for us. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, and then kind of this parenthetical aside, which is done in the body by human hands, like, yep, got it. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So that's God's word for us this morning. That's the section that we're going to cover. We're going to take some time to walk through it. And the Bible sometimes is very helpful in how to organize the structure of a sermon. In this case, it's kind of like, there's these key phrases like formerly, but now, and consequently. It's like, oh, okay, three slides. That's fantastic, 3 points. I want to walk through that and listen to the text and listen to what God would display for us there. But then I want to take some time to look at that dividing wall of hostility, that barrier, because I think that is a theme not just important to what we're talking about here, but really throughout the scriptures. This idea of walls being broken and hope being spoken, that is a biblical theme from beginning to end. And so I want to take some time to explicitly look at that and then end by just saying, God, what do you have for us? What should we take away? How should our lives, our faith, our worship be different because we've encountered you this morning? So let's go back to the beginning here. So there it is. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised. So this would have been the group of people in Ephesus. They're not a Jewish people. They're a Gentile people. And that should be viewed favorably. Why? Because that speaks of ethne, nations, right? People groups. But that had become a derogatory term, that this was a way that the Jews othered, kind of to use a cultural expression, kind of kept away or kept at a distance non-Jewish people. And so they're referred to as Gentiles or uncircumcised, right? We're the marked people of God. We're the circumcised people of God. We're the ones who have ceremonies and rituals and regulations to earmark that we are the people of God. And you don't have that. You're an unmarked people. You're an uncircumcised people. And so again, derogatory terms of like, you're othered, you're lesser. We are the people of God. Now that's not the way it should have been. They should have been a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. But there was a barrier, a wall that separated the two groups. And to be all the more explicit, there's 5 ways in which this kind of wall of hostility is felt and spoken of. They're separate from Christ, which is to say they did not have expectation for a Messiah, an anointed one, a coming one, a savior, a rescuer, right? So that's something that the Gentiles didn't have. They were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They're foreigners. So just this idea, like layer upon layer of language that kind of shows the Jewish people as being close to the heart of God. And where are the Gentiles? Where are the nations? They're way off. Out there at a distance, right? They don't understand the covenants and the promises that we have. And so kind of in conclusion, this idea of being without hope and without God in the world. And before going too far, I just want you to sit with the wall that is kind of depicted in that language. Jews being shown to be close, near, to have proximity to promises and covenants, to have the hope that comes with knowing God, being known by God. And by contrast, right? Think of how much, how high, how sizable that wall that exists between. And therefore, you Gentiles, you are far off. You're at a distance. We'll call you foreigners, strangers. You have no idea what we're talking about. You have no idea who our God is. You are hopeless, helpless in the world. Feel that. Some of you, it's not hard for you to imagine that feeling of otherness, because at different points in different places in your life, you feel that. Maybe because of your gender, maybe because of your race, maybe because of the decisions you've made in your life, and therefore your family is kind of treating you like a stranger, a foreigner, an outcast. Being othered, being separate, being outside. Feel that. That is the feeling of the former way of life. Prior to knowing Jesus, right? Prior to hope coming, hope being spoken, walls are brought forth and they keep us at a distance. And just like earlier in chapter 2, we get this great, but now, right? Formerly, this was true of you. Kind of you are separate as a Gentile people, as a church here, or as a group in Ephesus. But now you are these things, right? You were far away, you've been brought near. The two groups are made one. You are one new humanity instead of two, thus making peace. You've been reconciled. Peace was preached to those who are far and those who are near. And this idea of we both have access to the Spirit. So many ways in which the work of God, the work of Christ, has walls broken and hope spoken. I want to highlight just via three slides, three pictures, the simplicity of the gospel. Why do I do this? Because there are many times when the depth and complexity of God can cause us to get deep into things, deep into the thickets, and not just appreciate the beauty of the message of Christ. So I want to do that in three slides. Just, and they're depicted here. They're shown here. But many times we can overcomplicate things. Well, why? Because God is so immense. We can't oversimplify God. We don't want to do an injustice and a disservice to him. But it's like, no, don't overcome. Don't over-theologize. Don't over-intellectualize this message. This is a beautiful message that should be able to be received by children. So three slides, three pictures. The first one, one of my favorite characters of all time, Grover. No Grover fans out there? Grover was the one that taught me about near and far. You guys remember this? Any guys like Sesame Street? Just, right? He'd be like really close to the camera and be like, near. And then he just, far. Right? You could like hardly hear him. And he'd run. Near. And they would just like do this, right? And that'd be like a whole 60-second sequence, right? Friends, that helps us understand God in the gospel. That all of us once were far, right? We were all kept at a distance. We were all separate, excluded, right? But on account of Christ. But now we are what? Near. That shows us a picture of the gospel. It should be accessible to kindergartners. It should be accessible to wide groups of people. Just the simplicity of that. Being far and being near. And what has Jesus done? He's brought us near. Another one. Here's an actual picture of the wall kind of getting pushed in. Watch back that video. It's not as climactic as you would want. You want that slab to just go flying down, right? Just like, tear down this wall, and you do it. And it's like, it just from that point forward to actually get that slab, it took a lot of time and a lot of work. But anyways, in this case, two become one. Historically, that meant in 1961, what was formerly one city, one nation, one people, a wall is built. And one become two. In the West, more democratic. In the East, more communistic, right? And so you have families on different sides of Berlin that are separated now, right? But when the wall is broken and hope is spoken, all of a sudden two become one. All of a sudden there's not East Berlin and West Berlin. There's Berlin. Two becomes one. Not just in the city, but in the nation, two groups from East Germany and West Germany, two nations become one nation. Two people groups become one people group. That's a picture of the gospel. That right there, a wall being broken down. If we can understand a wall being broken down, and where formerly there were two groups of people, there's now one group, we can understand the gospel. One more. What I deem the hug heard round the world. You guys remember Maxwell and Finnegan? On the streets of New York, this is 2 years ago, on the streets of New York City, two buddies from a block apart see one another. And then they just take off running toward each other. And you can just see Finnegan. He's already got his arms out. It's like Maxwell and Finnegan, Maxwell's got his arms out. They're so excited to see one another, right? And they haven't seen each other. I mean, they haven't seen each other in 2 years. In 2 days. They haven't seen each other in two days. And they are, it's like, you've been separated how long? Like 48 hours. Just feels like a lifetime at that age, you know? Like, and they're just so excited. They run toward one another. They embrace. It's a picture of the gospel. And I think it speaks even more because they're kids. One black, one white. And I don't need to recount our nation's history. They're just like, no, that is a beautiful, wonderful picture of grace and love, acceptance, forgiveness, compassion, right? Maxwell and Finnegan separated, now reconciled. We can see the gospel in that. We can see a picture. We're given a window into understanding God's heart. Overcoming separation with reconciliation. What I loved about this video is that they're going to go to the park together. But Maxwell, who's in the background, he's far in the picture here. They come together, they embrace, and then they both turn and like, we're going to go to the park this way. And Maxwell just leaves his buddy behind, just dusts him. It's like... Okay, the analogy breaks down at that point, but right? But three simple pictures. We can understand the gospel. People far from God, right? They can understand these things. What would it look like to come near? What would it look like to have a wall broken and hope spoken? What would it look like, instead of experiencing separation, to be reconciled, to be embraced? Let's not overcomplicate the gospel. I pray as you sit there that you're not overcomplicating this, overthinking this. Like, no. The nearness, the closeness, the oneness, this idea of an embrace and reconciliation. Like, friends, that's available to you right now, here, this morning. Whatever the wall is, whatever you might be deeming like, no, this is why I deserve or why I am or why I should be separated. No. See in these pictures the gospel. And as scripture is so faithful, we learn, okay, so how is it those things? They happen on account of Christ. And that's where the scripture goes here. But now you are these things because of Jesus. It says in Christ, by his blood, right? Because of his cross, he does these things. And I want to draw attention specifically to this idea of by Jesus setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, okay? So, big topic, big idea, lots of bunny trails we could go on. At a very simple level, though, you used to be categorized and separated based on circumcision and uncircumcision. Those who were marked in the flesh, in the body, in this certain way, and those who were unmarked. And on account of Jesus' work on the cross, he says, no. No longer will that be a division. A wall. But because of his death on the cross, this idea of setting aside in his flesh, in his death, on the cross. I'm going to set those commands, those regulations, those that had a time and a purpose to kind of show God's separation from us, right? So the people of Israel were supposed to be that to show like you're distinct. There's a holiness that God, that your God has, okay? But now I'm saying Jesus is head over the church. And the only qualifying piece is not circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart. Has your heart been circumcised? Have you been cut to the heart on account of the gospel? That is the mark, not something that happens in a ritual or a ceremony or a church practice, but something that happens spiritually, definitively, but in unseen ways, spiritual ways at the heart level. The other commands, the other regulations are set aside that Jesus might be head over the church. And so it is here, as it's been true of in the past few weeks, that this idea of great news, the gospel coming forward, walls being broken and hope being spoken. Let me close our passage here. Lots of metaphors are brought forth, but essentially remember, formerly, but now, and consequently. Consequently, you are no longer what you formerly were, right? How were you deemed formerly? You were foreigners, you were strangers, no longer. Consequently, you are fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Just the ideas, the metaphors. You're citizens within this kingdom. You have a king. You're members of this household where you were once rejected, cast out, kind of outside the warmth of the household. Now you've been brought in as members of that household. And a lot of this language is regarding past. Like you had a faith in Jesus, a belief, you came to him, and this was true of you right then and there. You now are these things. And so for many of us who've made that decision, it's regarding our past that we became in that moment members of the household, citizens of the kingdom. But as you continue reading it, there's also some present and future type language here. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So additional metaphors, we got temples, we got buildings, all sorts of things are happening consequently here. But I want to just draw attention to verse 22. In him, you two are being built together. And I bring attention to that because I think even within Christian spheres, within churches, there's this idea of like, okay, we're united. Dividing wall of hostility has been torn down. We're one. As if there aren't other barriers, other walls that need to be broken down as well. That there are historical realities in our nation, in our communities, in our cities that still need to be broken down. So essentially, Jesus is saying to us, the wall of hostility has been torn down that you might experience oneness on account of Christ. Does that mean we have oneness of perspective in regard to what ails our communities? No, right? No, we are, as a community of believers, being built into a new people, into a new dwelling, into a new type of temple, right? And that's where I think other walls need to be broken down, to be addressed. They might be more socioeconomic. They might be relational. They might be emotional. You've been imprinted by those who raised you. And on account of their comments, you might have an unconscious bias, essentially a wall that's been built towards a certain type of person, or a people, or a political ideology. We all have these walls. And I think what should encourage us as the church is that spiritually we are one. We are one in Christ. We both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus Christ has made a way. And that should encourage us to work through the other walls from a place of safety. want to even drill down a little bit further because this is a biblical theme. The idea of walls is not going to come up again in our study of Ephesians, but I just want to hit a few more slides here just on that topic because it's throughout scriptures. Going back even to Genesis 3. So you remember God created the heavens and the earth? Good, good, very good. All right, where'd all the walls come? Well, Genesis 3, right? Adam and Eve turned from God and God's like, all right, this is not good. I don't want you to eat that tree and live forever in this way. So I'm gonna put you outside the garden and there's gonna be a wall there. It's gonna be, you know, addressed and guarded by flames. You're not gonna come back in here, right? That impacts every part of society, every part of culture, every part of community. There's a wall between Adam and Eve. Not just a wall between them and God, but between one another. And that has permeated every part of society. And we see it throughout the Old Testament. But then this beautiful picture in verse 14 here, he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. And that dividing wall of hostility is between us and God and between us and other believers, other brothers and sisters in the church, those who have faith in Christ. I want to speak from a book on biblical imagery, this idea of a broken wall. Walls are depicted in positive ways, negative ways. Sometimes they need to be torn down. Other times they're needed to be built for protection. What is the symbol of a broken wall here in verse 14? What does that communicate scripturally? In that book, he says, a broken wall is a preeminent biblical image for defeat. God's prediction to Joshua regarding the fall of Jericho. So Old Testament, back in the book of Joshua, right? Regarding the fall of Jericho is that the wall of the city will fall down flat. Essentially, God will thoroughly defeat, right, his opponents. When Joash defeats Amaziah, the key to conquest is that he broke down the wall of Jerusalem for 400 cubits. A feat repeated by Nebuchadnezzar on a grand scale when he carries the nation into captivity. So imagine the Father saying to the Son, it's time for the wall of hostility to come down. Tear down that wall. And Jesus does so. Maybe in unexpected ways, right? Where so many people thought it was going to be a physical reality, Jesus goes to the cross and brings forth a spiritual defeat, a tearing down of the wall of hostility that exists between us and God and us and one another. This idea is repeated by Paul in another letter to the churches in Galatia. He says this, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in this case, he grabs on to three of the most common, binary, right, polarized wall of hostility between. This idea of male and female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile. Can't get as far apart as those. And on account of Christ, all of the walls that exist between those two are torn down. And that should encourage us, church. That should encourage us for how we relate to one another in our small groups, for that person that annoys you. That's a small wall of hostility. Look at the walls that are torn down. This wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, male, female, slave, free. So, where does that leave us? I want to have you consider this. What for you, as I've been preaching, like I believe God's Spirit wants to speak to you, and probably some walls have come to mind. For some of you, it might be this idea of being othered, being separated, being looked down upon, cast out. Could be in a work setting, could be in a family setting. I hope and pray it's not because of church. It could be because of church. We're not immune to this. We can other people. What is it for you? Where are the walls? Are they internal? Some sort of mental, spiritual, internal battle Walls have been built that need to be broken. What part of your life do you need to hear the hope that's being spoken in this passage? For others of you, it could be tied to historical realities. So I was thinking about this, praying about this. So I'm on vacation this week, just seeing the number of biracial, interracial couples. Oh, we're not too far removed from when that was illegal. A legal wall was built in that. For some of you, it could be related to gender. If you're a female, feeling lesser because of our culture, feeling lesser because of the church, feeling lesser. Walls broken, hope being spoken. Couple things to make mention before I ask some questions and we come to the table and close with a couple songs. If your struggle is with sin, if your struggle is with issues in relationships, we want to help. Some people come up to me as a pastor or come up to our staff and they apologize for asking for help. It's like, oh no, that's why we do what we do. Like that's why we're here. We actually do want to help people. That's one of our joys. Not that you're struggling, but that we can journey with you in that. And so if that would be the wall that you're looking, some sort of sin struggle, some sort of relational reality, will you reach out? RestoringHope@HopeCC.com. Any full-time staff, their first name at HopeCC.com, core@HopeCC, email me. I can get you to the right person. Hear the hope that's being spoken. Don't let the wall stay up that needs to be broken down in your life. Another one might be in regard to racial realities. So since 2014, Hope has taken a variety of steps, some of which are very exciting. Some of them are new. Even this Tuesday, we'll be hosting Justin Gibney. And I don't know what he's gonna say. We're co-hosting event, right, with Transform Minnesota on Tuesday night here. I don't know exactly what he's gonna say. Why would you invite him? Just because he's African American? No. Because as I've listened to him in other places, how he has talked about issues of race, how he has talked about issues of politics, the manner with which he carries himself, that's what I want us to sit with and to sit under and to observe. I think one of the ways that walls get erected and built up, it's not necessarily what we're saying, it's how we're saying these things. And so I think for us as a church to be able to open up the doors, invite him to come and share and experience some of the oneness that we have because of Christ. And simultaneously be challenged to keep growing, keep moving, keep experiencing this kind of idea of being built into a temple, into a household. One more for you to consider here, this idea of near, far, kept at a distance. For some of you, I just wanna politely and urgently appeal to you. Don't stay far off from God when he has made every accommodation that you might come near. Don't stay separated from him when he desires your reconciliation. Don't be your own person as if that's a requirement within the body of Christ. No, we're to be one with one another, to mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice. You are not called to battle alone. May the people that stand up here in prayer, willing to pray for you during communion, may that be a symbol, a sign that you're not alone, that we want to be with you, want to meet you. May this table remind you, you're not alone. You're not to live separated, but rather we're going to take together that Jesus has made a way. The wafer is symbolizing his body broken for you, and the little juice were symbolic of his blood shed for us, that we might be one, that we might be reconciled, that we might be at peace, that we might go from being far off to being near. And as we sing these couple songs, these questions are intended to be reflective, and you might think that's weird. Like, don't you raise questions and answer them in a sermon? It's like, not at Hope. Why do we send you away with questions? Because we want you to wrestle through these things. We want you to work this out, not just do what I say or what some other church leader might say, but to process this, to work through this with God and maybe with those around the dinner table or lunch table, with your roommates, with your family. We want you to struggle and consider these things. For the Christian, how would you characterize those former times separated from Christ in which you were without hope and without God? Do you remember that? Do you remember what that was like? Some of you, you accepted Christ at a young age. That's no problem. For those who didn't, just, you can remember, I can remember the feelings formerly, 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age without Jesus, without hope, without stability, without foundation. But now, what difference has it made and is it making in your life that walls between us and God and between us and each other have been torn down, walls being broken, hope being spoken between us and God and us and each other? And then finally, what might it look like for this message to be shared within your spheres? Friends, you can be a sign and a symbol of the gospel by sharing far and near, wall torn down. Maxwell and Finnegan. Like, these things are not too hard for us. These are things that we can make digestible, understandable to the people in our spheres. They're not othered by Jesus Christ. He wants to invite them in and maybe even use us to extend that invitation. Let's pray together. Jesus, you have torn down the dividing wall of hostility. The barrier that existed between us and you and between one another. You have done a great work. May we sit with that. May we dwell with that, not forget that, not grow tired of it. Celebrate it, even as we come to the table. God, thank you. Thank you so much for breaking down the wall, for speaking hope and peace into our lives. It occurs to me that there might be people in this room that there's still a wall between you and them. Jesus, will you tear it down? Let them see your goodness, your beauty, your love, your compassion. Let them hear that you want to bring them in to the household, into the family, into the warmth, into the closeness, into your embrace. Help us, God, to hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.